led by whoever. Come, the first scripture comes from the book of Psalms, the 98th Psalm in the pew book, found on page 935. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked out salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed to his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, bursting into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our gospel reading is from the book of Luke. Chapter 20, beginning with verse 27. This is a story about the resurrection and the marriage. Some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, we will have our esteemed pastor lead us in some new thoughts.
We better pray first. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity once again to come together as your children, as believers in you. Father, help us this morning in our understanding of your word and of your teachings. Help us so we might know your will in our lives, and that we might be able to accomplish them. In all things we do, praise and thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Well, if you weren't with us in Sunday school, you were really missing out. We had some really good discussions. And I would invite you to come, but I told the man I was going to sit down and preach this week. Now, here we go. We're going to give this a whirl. I also told him, do not be afraid to ask questions if you have questions. This really fits in with what we're going to talk about this week. So when I first started to look at this scripture, and I first looked at Psalms 98, verse 9 in Psalms stood out to me. It said, where do I got it written down here? He says, sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Well, then in our gospel reading in chapter 20, we find that the Sadducees are questioning Jesus about God's righteousness and his equity. I mean, so today I really want us to think about, and I title this message, Righteous Equity. So let me start by telling a story first, and I got to stand up anyway. You're going to drive me crazy. So, little girl, she's wandering down the street, and she goes into a pet shop. Sees the shopkeepers and looks at the shopkeeper, say, she's got a little lisp. He says, Mister, do you have any wild rabbits? Shopkeeper, he looks at her, he kind of bends down at her, he looks her right in the eye, says, do you mean little white rabbits or little rat rabbits or maybe even a cute little brown rabbit? Well, the little girl thinks about it a minute. And so she gets down on her knees, then looks him in the eye and says, Mister, I don't think my python cares what color rabbit. Yeah, we laugh at that a little bit, but I think she had the mindset of righteous equity in her head. What does that mean? What does righteous equity mean? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary. So the word equity, according to the dictionary, is defined as being fairness or of value, or to be impartial or justice according to natural law. That's the meaning of equity. What's the meaning of righteousness? If you look that up in most Bibles, it'll tell you, most dictionaries, it'll say, it's the quality of being morally right or justifiable. Think about it for a minute. So what's the meaning of equity? Let me tell you this one more time. It means fairness or of value. To be impartial or justice according to the natural law. And righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally right or justifiable. So think about this. So in chapter 20 in the NIV, which is in our pews, if you read that entire chapter, which I hope you will later on, you're going to find that Jesus was teaching people, and he was taking questions. People were questioning him, and he was talking to them and responding to them. And most of them were about righteous equity, if you really get to thinking about it. So listen to who he was talking to. Verse 1 and verses 2 of chapter 20 says, one day as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. They said, tell us by what authority you are doing these things. And they said, who gave you this authority? Who gave Jesus this authority? Well, we know his authority came from God now, don't we? But what did he do? Well, he started to question them. He wanted to know why they were asking these questions. So what did he do? So if you read there, so the first thing he says, he talked about John's baptism. And he asked him, was it from heaven or from men? He wanted them to know how they were seeing things. So basically Jesus was asking them, was it baptism? Is that of righteous equity in the eyes of God or in the eyes of men? Well, then he continued, and then he told them the parable of the tenants. And he said, if we all know the parable of the tenants is when the tenants were taking care of a farm and they ended up killing his son and everything else went on. Read that parable later. We're not going to go into it right now. But he says, in other words, he asked him, he says, so what then will the owner of the vineyard do to them because they had killed his son? Think about it. What would be the righteous and equitable thing to do to those who were caring for the vineyard? Then we look at, he goes on even further. He asks some real hard questions here. In verse 20, in chapter 20, verses 23 to 26, that Jesus is questioned about paying taxes to Caesar. Well, he has asked, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, they weren't really asking about what was the equitable thing to do or the righteous thing to do, what the right thing to do was. He says they were trying to trip him up. But verse 23, it tells us that Jesus saw through their duplicity. So then we come to our text today, and the Sadducees, they're looking out for their own righteous equity. And it's looking out for it on their behalf. Because the Sadducees, it tells us, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So who were these Sadducees? So we have a little better understanding of who they were, who was asking the questions. So they studied the scriptures rigorously. They thought about and they pondered it all the time. All they wanted to think about was the big questions in life. And you think about it, and that's pretty much all they really did. But the people always looked at them for knowledge. So here they have the opportunity of a lifetime. Think about it. Think about it if you had this opportunity. They got a life opportunity of a lifetime. They get a chance to ask God these questions. They could have asked him any question they wanted to, and they would have pretty much expected to get an answer. But they didn't, did they? I mean, imagine if you were in those shoes. Now, if you were back with Jesus 2,000 years ago, and he's walking around, he comes, he's in the temple, you've got an opportunity, he says, what do you want to know today, Kathy? What big question do you have? What would you ask? Maybe we'd ask, why are you here? Or, what happens to us when we go to heaven? What do we look like? Are we old? Are we young? You know, if we go there when we're infants, are we an infant always there? They could have asked a whole group of questions. And I think about this, it's like, what would you ask God? I mean, when Jesus was here, he was asked all kinds of good questions, profound questions. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Big questions that we really needed the answers to. He was also asked some stupid questions too. I mean, you think about it. Okay, so how about, would you give my two sons the best seats in heaven? One to sit at your right and your left? Or maybe they asked, I try to think of some other stupid questions they've asked with things they didn't need to know. I know one time they came to us and said, God, I want you to make sure that my inheritance is split equally between my sons. Did they really want answers? I mean, you think about it, when you go to God, do you really want an answer? Or are you coming to him and asking him things out of your own selfishness or your own ambition? I think about these Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees, they came, and their question wasn't really a question. They were trying to trip him up. They came with this big hypothetical story. Let me read it for you again. The story of theirs. If I can find it one more time. He says, so this is their question. He said, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. So now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and the third married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Since she was married to seven. Now, what kind of question is that? I really ask you, what kind of question is that? It's kind of like the family that bought a hamster. So they buy a hamster at the pet store. They bring it home. Of course, the kids say they're all going to take care of it, but who ends up with it? Mom ends up with taking care of 90% of this hamster life, you know. We all know that. This is what happens, right? So mom's pretty good-natured about it for a while, and then she's finally sick of it. She gets the kids together and says, "Now, how many times do you think this hamster would have died if I hadn't taken care of it?" Kind of a stupid question, isn't it? Her five-year-old recognizes this. He says, once? Did she really want the answer to her question? We do the same thing, don't we? When we're talking to God, we ask stupid questions too. Anyway, when I think about this, and I think about this story they had, and I thought about, ladies, imagine if you were back then. What would your opinion be? Would you think this was equitable, righteous equity? If your husband died, passed off to seven brothers? I think not. Probably be some really mad sister-in-laws. But theoretically, back in those days, this was very possible. Just because of the way society ran and what their rules for society were at the time. So how did Jesus respond to their question? So it tells us, he tells them, he says, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die. For they are like the angels." They are children of God. Think about that. Then he goes on and says, they are God's children. Since they are children of the resurrection. Children of the resurrection. I think about that statement. I think, well, them Sadducees, they had to be flipping because they didn't believe in resurrection, did they? They didn't believe in life after death. So what was Jesus saying? You know whose side I'm on? You're going to have to start listening to the Pharisees. Well, we all know the Pharisees. They took a beating in the Bible. Seems like every time Jesus was confronted by them, there was a fight ensued and bad feelings abounded. And here Jesus has taken the side of a Pharisee. Well, yes, there is life after death. But he tells them that the woman will be neither, there won't be any marriage, there won't be given in marriage, because that's just a thing of the flesh. We're talking about what really happens to each of us, because we have a personal God, don't we? He knows each and every one of us individually. So he answers their questions by telling them he won't be married. There is a heaven. Then he answers them, and he says, he turns the tables, he gives them this very definition of life beyond the grave. He says to make sure the Sadducees know whose side he's on. And what's he say? He says, even Moses showed us that the dead rise. He said, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then Christ says conclusively, he said, he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. Ooh, think about that statement just for a moment. To God, all are alive. He's not just talking about who we think is alive, but he's also talking about those who are passed on. So what does that really mean? If God sees all as being alive, whether we're alive today, or maybe alive in the people coming in the future, I mean, God sees all things as right now, doesn't he? Ooh, this may give us a different perspective on how we see God. how we see ourselves and the value in our lives. Think about this. So if God sees everything right now, there is no time. God has no use for time. We're the only ones who have use of time. God sees everything's happening right now. If that's true, it makes me want to cry. Because you think about it, every time I sin, God sees it right, it's right now. He just did it. And then what happens? Because of that, because he loves me, Christ died again, right now. Somebody had to give their life because I sinned. Think about it. That's how God sees time. Because there is no time. Everything is right now. It's this very minute. This very minute we have righteous equity given back to us. That's God's righteous equity. Because he forgave us because he sent his son to die for us. And Jesus dies for us every minute. Every time we sin. Because we asked God to come in our hearts. To free us. So we might have eternal life with him. That moment was right now too. So he did forgive us. So he doesn't have to look, because God can't look at sin, but he can look at us because he sent his son to die for us so that we might have forgiveness. Got any big questions?
Yeah. When did you sit down and when you started?
Why did I sit down? I tried to do what the Sunday school class was talking about. I just can't do it. I can't sit down. It's too hard. My brain works better when I stand up and walk and move. I get a better sense of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, and how what each of you are feeling, what you need to know.
How did Jesus do it?
I think he must have got up and walked around if he had the same problem I do. Right now, I want you to all open your Bibles. I want you to open that Psalm scripture up one more time. Psalms 98. And I want you all to read the verse 9 with me. Psalms 98, verse 9. You got it? Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. I got a question for you. How did David write that? He's talking present time, isn't he? God came to judge the earth, didn't he? The Holy Spirit was talking to him. Who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is God, isn't he? Our God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Think about it for just for a few minutes. Think about this. So when David was writing this, he was saying, I know God's already judged us. Because to God, everything is now, isn't it? It already happened. It's happening this very moment. God has no need of time. We're the only ones who have need of time. So the next time you find yourself in sin, and you believe in your heart that Christ died for you, you have received forgiveness. You just crucified Jesus all over again. Makes you want to believe that we should be doing the right thing all the time. That's what righteous equity is all about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us, for the forgiveness you provided for us. Help us to understand that you are a forgiving God, that you are a loving God, and that you are God of the past, the present, and the future. And all is to you. We should give all to you. We ask all these things just through Jesus, your Son, who died so we might have forgiveness. Amen.